will be out tomorrow. Bye. Well, we're in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Boy, this different mic is a little bit hotter, isn't it? And we are in the subject of reaching out as we started this ministry that's taking place in Pisidian Antioch that Paul and Barnabas have been sent to accomplish, first of all by the Lord and then by the church at Antioch. And so in Pisidian Antioch, in Gentile country, we'll see how fruitful they were. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to your word now. It's exciting to see how the word spread and how you've given us the same spirit to reach out to people around us as you gave to the early church, and in particular, as we studied, to Paul and Barnabas. Each has a different measure. Each has different gifts. But I thank you that all together we can accomplish your work. And so as we embark on this journey today, I pray that you would give us clear thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's many millions in the world who are sick, who lack food, they're starving, they're hungry, and we see pictures. What happens to you when you see pictures of poverty and starving kids in other areas of the world? Do you take that magazine or take the TV and put it off to the side and do something else so that it doesn't bother you? There have been periods of time in the past where we've been inundated almost to the point of numbness, of becoming numb to the need with all the advertising for UNICEF or Compassion International or different things. And they show the pictures, they tell the stories, and you think, what can I do when the hunger and the needs are so broad, so worldwide? But something it does stir up when we see it close to home is compassion. To have compassion on people that are needy. The Boise Rescue Mission combines meeting the physical needs with presenting spiritual truth, feeding them spiritually. And so we have a reference point right close to home where there's this outreach to those folks that are in need, genuine need, and we can help. I know of a foreign mission that used to be called Sudan Interior Mission. It's now SIM, that met the physical needs of people, especially in Africa, in order to give them the bread of life, meet the hunger physically, but the main goal is to give them the Lord Jesus, the bread of life. Well, when Paul and Barnabas traveled on their missionary journey, they found people that were Jews and Gentiles that were hungry for the truth. And so they had an open door, but it cost them something. We're not going to go into the cost so much this morning, because if we're going to get out by tomorrow, we need to get going with this. No, let's see. We'll have it shorter than that. But we're going to be starting at Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. And you recall from last week, if you were here, that they had been in Pisidian Antioch and went to the synagogue, and they'd gotten a good response there from people. Jews and Gentiles were attending the synagogue. And so now at verse 42, they've preached their message, given their message, and they're on their way out. And it says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked to them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. In many of the translations that I read on verse 42, where the NIV has the people invited them, other translations use the term they begged them or they earnestly begged them to come back the next Sabbath, to return and continue this teaching. And so they had a hunger to hear, and the people received the gospel. We know that from what earlier in the chapter it said about them anxiously hearing the message that Paul and Barnabas brought. And so they went out, and by word of mouth, they got word around Pisidian Antioch, and they gathered up a whole lot of people the next day. Now, there are parts in the world where there is a real hunger for the gospel. And the gospel, there are areas in the world where the good news is welcomed. I know of some young people that were at Boise State and Campus Crusade for Christ. At that time, it's now called CRU, organized a mission trip to China. And they were told when they went to China, they went to Shanghai, and how many millions of people live in Shanghai? 12 million, something like that, 10, 12 million. And they were told they were going to be divided up into smaller teams and to go through these particular areas where college students would gather. And you find people who have ears to hear the gospel. They're learning English, so you can speak to them, use simple terms, but you speak to them. There's going to be students that come up to you and just want to talk because they want to practice their English. But you have a message to give, and it's not English. It's Jesus Christ. So you talk to them, and you find out right at the beginning, would you like to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, God over all? Would you like to hear about that? And if they say, let's just talk, okay, you go on. Because we only have 2 weeks here, or 10 days, whatever it was, and we've got to get the message to as many as will receive it. And there were young people that were hungry to hear it. They didn't lack for young people to talk about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. So what were they so anxious to hear? What were the people here in Antioch anxious to hear? In verse 38, let's back up just a little bit from where we started. Verse 38. Therefore, this is Paul speaking still. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. There is forgiveness of sins. You can be reconciled to God. And you can be forgiven, not by the law. It was weak. It couldn't forgive you. It couldn't bring forgiveness. But Jesus Christ can. And that was their message. That was what they were hungry for. And I wonder how sensitive we are to people around us here who are hungry for the gospel, who want to know about Jesus and how they can be reconciled to God, because they know that if they were to die tonight, they would not be in the Lord's presence. They'd begin their suffering for their sin. What makes me think that there are people still in this valley, and you may have heard me tell this story before, it happened quite a few years ago, but there was a lady named Pat who came with a group of other ladies. We called them the Bunch Drive Bunch. Some of you remember, but they would come and they'd sit in the congregation, and the Lord laid it on my heart one afternoon to go visit this Bunch Drive Bunch. I came to one house. She opened the door and said, come in. I've been waiting for someone to come and tell me about God. How open can they be? Hungry, just waiting, having sat in church, and whew, whew, whew. but needed someone face to face just to sit down, say, this is what the Bible says. And she received Christ that afternoon. People are hungry for the Word of God. The people in Antioch begged that Paul and Barnabas come back. Please tell us more. But when opposed, and we'll read about that, just so you get the context. So verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. So when opposed, the apostles focused their ministry to the Gentiles, away from the Jewish people. They did not consider themselves worthy of eternal life. Wow, what a statement. But God gave Paul and Barnabas a command from the Old Testament. He said at verse 47, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us." And then it's a quote from the Old Testament. And he says, "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And that's a reference to the Messiah, to the servant of the Lord that you read of in Isaiah. But there's a New Testament application. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, of speaking for the Lord. God first of all said this to who would be Christ, God the Son, the Messiah. And then he speaks it again and applies it to the apostles. And he carries it on to us too. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We implore you on Christ's behalf. We, in Christ's stead, as though we are standing in Christ's place, and we appeal to you, be reconciled to God. And the Lord had prepared the hearts of the Gentiles. They were glad and honored the word of the Lord. It was a ministry of prayer from the beginning. Remember in the beginning of chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were set off. The other leaders in the church they fasted and prayed in verse 3, and they placed their hands on them. They prayed and placed their hands on them and sent them out. It's a beginning of prayer, and it continues through their whole ministry. When we have that kind of confidence, I'll tell you another story. It happened a ways back in another place. But there was a lady that came up to me and said, "God has laid a man on my heart that needs someone to tell him the gospel." And she said, "I will pray if you will go." So I went. He delivered mail, and he went at about 3 in the afternoon to the local tavern and sat and played cribbage with a friend and drank something refreshing to him. And I went in the bar and sat down and talked to Hank. And I said, "I'm coming here because God's prepared your heart." Because the lady was praying. I knew God was working in Hank. And we went through the gospel, and Hank said, "You know, I did this many years ago. I prayed to receive Jesus. But the church that I went to didn't accept me. And so I felt I'll go to the place where I'm accepted. And he went to the bar every afternoon. But there was a turnaround there, because someone had prayed. God had prepared his heart then to receive. What we did was go through a little tract, a little booklet. And he rededicated, recommitted his life to Jesus and turned around and got involved with the men in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, a paraphrase of that verse, because Paul is talking about himself and Apollos, so paraphrase it slightly. One plants the seed, the word of God. Another waters it. But where does the increase come from? God makes it grow. God brings about the increase. It's never an opportunity for anybody to toot their own horn. I saved so many. No, you didn't either. I don't, you don't, God does. We don't save people, God does. We can't give life, God does. It's God's work to make the new creation. And what do we read in verse 52 in that chapter 13? The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. It was bearing fruit and people were delighted in the Lord. Well, the apostles kept moving. We're going into chapter 14. These chapter divisions don't limit us. We can just keep on going as much as we want. The apostles moved on to claim the spiritual harvest, and they moved to Iconium. It'd be good if you took your, if you have maps in the back of your Bible, and just kind of trace this missionary journey into to the island of Cyprus and across some water and back up into the, it's rugged area from what I understand. And with practice, they spoke effectively. Verse 1 in chapter 14, they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles there at Iconium believed. I put with practice, because Paul's not ashamed to say, I learned. In Philippians, we read in chapter 4 that he said, I have learned that whatever state I am in, whatever condition I am in, whatever state, therein to be content. I have learned contentment. I think, too, as Paul went out on this missionary journey, he knew Hebrew. He knew how to handle the Old Testament. He had been taught by the Lord to handle the gospel, the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus. But he was still practicing. He was never done learning how to communicate this truth until he died. He was very good. He wrote much of the New Testament. But we see the progression of even the books that he wrote, of how he wrote, how he developed them. And he is learning. And that's an encouragement to me. I hope it is to you. We may feel we're really rusty. I don't know what to say. Say what God puts in your mind and in your mouth. Try it. You'll like it. Because God is going to teach us as we go. He's not going to say, I'm going to give you every word to say for the rest of your life. But conditions that you find yourself in are going to be different all the time. And your dependency on the Lord is going to grow over time. And your confidence, because you'll see God working in you and through you. God is not limited by the instrument he uses. You and I are the instruments. Some of us are timid. Some of us are bold. But we need to remember it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Also keep in mind that sharing with eternity in view, talking to someone with a view to eternity, this person is living in the here and now, but Lord, you have eternity that you can bring about in their hearts, that you can develop and blossom in their hearts. And when we share with eternity in view, our words may be a link to reach someone. Not the end result, but what you say may be a link that someone else is going to build on, that someone else is going to contribute to, that someone else is going to say. And it's going to develop over perhaps years, perhaps weeks. But what we say is important because that's an invaluable link. It's not our power that changes lives, but it's God's purpose. We're not just trying to express power. Let them know God's purpose for you is to be with Him in glory. God's purpose for you is to know the Lord Jesus and forgiveness of sins. This is going to shock you. Please put on your seatbelt, because I'd like to conclude with an illustration from a pastor from a long time ago. And he was enlarging on John chapter 1 when Jesus met Philip and Andrew. And he pointed out Andrew, who became one of Jesus' disciples. And this is what he says. When Andrew went to find his brother, he little imagined how eminent Simon would become. Simon Peter was worth 10 Andrews, so far as we can gather from sacred history. And yet Andrew was instrumental in bringing him to Jesus. You may be very deficient in talent yourself, and yet you may be the means of drawing to Christ one who shall become eminent in grace and service. Ah, dear friend, you little know the possibilities which are in you. You may but speak a word to a child, and in that child there may be slumbering a noble heart which shall stir the Christian church in years to come. Andrew has only 2 talents, but he finds Peter. Go and do thou likewise. Jesus declared in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. People are hungry. Souls will be saved and satisfied in Jesus. Let them know the Savior. Let's pray. And Father, I would pray, even as people have prayed in the past, that you would prepare hearts. And then give this congregation, we as Christian people, a courage and a boldness to speak what you bring to our attention. And let the results be from you, that you bring the increase. I pray that you would use us for your glory, that we might follow the aim of the church to reach people for Christ and to build them up in the faith. I believe that's your heart, since it came from the scriptures too. So Lord, I would pray that you would draw us into prayer. Help us to intercede for people that we are aware of, and even that we don't know, but we know others have their neighbors. And will you answer the burden on our hearts according to your purpose? And Lord, as we have an opportunity to share a meal together, we would pray that the fellowship might just be sweet, that you would bless the food, that it might nourish us, bless the hands that prepared it, that they would be encouraged and gratified as people enjoy the food they've made. I give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you are dismissed to eat.